Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Bernola and Eric.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake. Bird sings an aeroplane. Lenny Bruce has got a brain. I am a hurricane. Swiss out your throat.
Hey.
Sorry about that. Welcome to another edition of Hot Takes. I'm Eric Nifong. You find me on Twitter at @E_Nifong, and joined by Nolan Haig. You can find him on Twitter at @NJH09. And a little late getting here, but we're here and getting ready to get another show going here. We have quite a bit to talk about this week, NBA, NFL, some college football, and some UFC 205. So should be a pretty good night. How was your weekend, and how's your week been so far? Crazy night last night. I know I was up pretty late, just kind of processing all that was going on.
Yeah, it's definitely been a crazy last 24 hours or so, I guess, to say the least. Yeah, I don't know. It's, I hope it's not the end of the world like people are trying to make it out to be.
Yeah, I don't think it's the end of the world. I think we'll be fine.
I mean,
obviously,
but
yeah,
definitely
going to
be interesting.
SNL's going to have plenty of next 4 years, it appears.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I guess I still just don't really have any clear thoughts on that yet. But luckily we have sports, so we don't have to talk about bigger things all the time.
Most definitely so. Yeah, I think we should kind of dive in here to some sports talk, kind of get our minds off there for at least a little bit here. So if you want to, let's do it.
Yeah, let's.
All right. Well, let's start off with our hot picks from last week. Start off here in the NBA. We picked Clippers, who came in the game 3-1. They visited San Antonio, who was 4-1 at the time. That was on Saturday night. I went with Clippers. You took the Spurs, and the Clippers proved to be the better team that night. Really just had their way with the Spurs, winning 116-92. And I kind of have some questions about the Spurs. I know they had the big win on opening night, but that defense isn't very good. They're giving up a lot of points right now. And I was watching a little bit of the Rockets game here earlier. It's, I believe, 62-59 or something along those lines. It looks like they're going to give up another 100 points to another team here. I have a couple questions about the Spurs, and a little worried. We're still really early in the season here, but Clippers look like they're ready to kind of take the next step and possibly take over that number two and look at that number one seed in the West here.
I wouldn't be overly concerned about the Spurs, at least not yet. I mean, not to that extent, but kind of like the Warriors, they are kind of a slightly different team this year. They're still kind of, you know, I guess figuring that whole thing out. It's a little alarming because you got them losing, especially at home. They don't do that often, but I'm sure they'll be fine in the long run. The Clippers are a good team. I mean, it's as as far as I mean, got a lot of talent on that team. The guys, those guys are still good, so they'll be there at the end of the year in the West when it's all said and done too. So, yep.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we're only about here 7-8 games in, so definitely no need to panic or anything like that. Spurs here are in danger of losing another one at home here. I think they only lost two at home all year last year. So, I don't know, just a couple questions about them, a little bit of concern. But, yeah, definitely take some time. They have new players and got rid of a Hall of Famer, so it might take a little time here. But yeah, the Clippers are looking good, and it appears that they're really finding their way here in the West. They are they've looked as good as anyone in the NBA so far this year. They had the one loss earlier this year, but other than that, they've been untouchable, and they're winning by a pretty good margin against all these teams. And they haven't had an easy schedule here through the early parts. So definitely a team to keep your eye on as the season continues. And I think we knew that coming in here.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely big for them also if they can stay healthy. Got a lot of guys on there that have had injuries in the past, kind of gotten in the way of them maybe getting to their full potential. So something to also look out for.
Yeah, most definitely. So, all right. Well, I guess that should take us here to some college football. A couple games here. First, start off with number 10 Nebraska at number 6 Ohio State. Both teams come in at 7-1 in the Big Ten, representing the Big Ten. Both went Ohio State, and we made a pretty good choice as Nebraska never really had a chance.
I think so.
Ohio State ended up winning 62-3, really just put it on Nebraska, and it was never close, and it wasn't pretty. Ohio State looked a little upset about their previous 2 weeks having a couple close games there.
Yeah, and I mean, and if you had any doubts about Nebraska or anything like that, you definitely found out that they were not on that level. definitely not ready for what Ohio State had for them. JT Barrett throwing for four touchdowns. Ohio State, I think it was announced that they're would be in the playoffs if it ended today. So they're definitely, again, one of those top-tier just consistent conferences or teams in a college football landscape where just not a lot of consistency after the top.
Yeah, most definitely. I thought that Washington actually moved up to number 4 here this week. Did they not?
Who am I thinking of? I thought, wasn't it Alabama, Michigan, and
Clemson and Washington.
Then that's my fault. But they're right there. Then right on the outside looking in, I guess. But they're definitely ready to move up.
Yeah.
If somebody wants to falter.
Hasn't really made sense. Yeah, I mean, it hasn't really made sense to me, this Final Four thing. I mean, I know it doesn't really matter right now, but I don't get how Washington was 5 last week. You had Texas A&M at 4, who hadn't really been all that impressive besides a win over Tennessee. They lost by a good margin to Alabama. They somehow move over an undefeated Washington team, but Nebraska beats a top 10 team by 59 points, and they aren't able to move over a Washington team, so I think there's a little inconsistency there, but
yeah,
it doesn't
it's,
really matter.
And it's hard to say. It's really hard to say when you get all these teams that just don't play each other or aren't playing, anywhere I don't want to say anywhere close, but just playing completely different teams, like then you've got no common opponents. So it's just always hard to make that judgment call, especially when you're just trying to narrow it down to the top four. I don't know. I don't really want to get into how I think it should be eight teams, but yeah, I guess that's a discussion for another day.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's definitely that could be a whole show. So,
yeah.
But I guess we can move on here to a team that is unanimously the number one team. That's Alabama. They traveled to Death Valley, take on LSU on Saturday night. I took LSU in this one. You took Alabama. Really, the only difference in this was one 20-yard run by Jalen Hurts, and Alabama
Yeah.
10-0. And, yeah, LSU really put up a fight, but couldn't do anything on offense, nothing at all. So that proved to be if you don't score points, you're probably not going to win a game. So
yeah, it's definitely kind of a throwback Alabama LSU game, at least to a few years ago when you had that 6-9 overtime game. And the rematch in the title game, kind of low scoring, a lot of defense. I was actually only really able to watch the end of it, but I mean, just seemed to be kind of classic in that way. Alabama was able to pretty much shut Leonard Fournette down, throwing 35 yards on 17 carries. LSU only had 125 yards total offense. So couldn't get anything going on that side of the ball. And yeah, if you can't score, you're not going to win. Jalen Hurts was able to find the end zone, and that pretty much was the difference.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. As soon as Hurts scored that TD, I said it was over. Just the way the game was going, I thought that if Alabama got a touchdown, there's no way LSU was going to score to match him. I thought maybe if they could hold him to a field goal, then maybe they could get into field goal range somehow and keep the game going. But it didn't look good for LSU. You thought at some point Alabama was going to make that one play to make the difference. They did. Danny Etling missed a bunch of open passes early in the game. He looked kind of flustered a little bit. And then when he did start to hit a little bit, with accuracy, his receivers weren't helping him out. It was just not a good game for LSU. But, hey, Leonard Fournette had four more yards than he had last year. So,
yeah. Progress, right?
That's all you can ask for.
Oh, right. No, but, yeah. It's still hard to say that Alabama just looks to be the most complete team. I'm starting to lean towards more. They're definitely beatable. The offense, can definitely be slowed, but you're going to have to score on them, and that just seems to be a really tall order right now.
Yeah, I think if you get them pitted up against a team like with Deshaun Watson or a Lamar Jackson, I think they could give him a lot of trouble on defense. But other than that, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough either way. But if you can stop Jalen Hurts from running, he's not scaring anyone throwing the ball. So you definitely have a chance on that side of the ball. But other than that, it's going to take an almost A-plus offensive game for someone to beat them, it looks like. But I still have hope for one more team later in the season, Auburn, who has been playing really good so far this season, and you never know with those rivalry games how that can go. It's kind of crazy to think that Auburn still has a chance. They could beat Alabama, win the SEC championship, and be in the Final Four here.
It's crazy, but yeah, it could happen. But
very well.
Yeah, I don't know. And definitely anything can happen. And like you said, they look vulnerable if you can put a lot of points on the board. So gonna have to see. But you mentioned Lamar Jackson. Speaking of Lamar Jackson, so is the Heisman race over?
Hasn't it been over since week one?
Oh, all right. Just gonna retroactively take it all the way back there then.
I'm just saying. I mean, he hasn't really slowed down. He's had a couple games.
No.
Held to only a couple touchdowns, but dude's been scoring at least five a game. It seems like, and getting you 300.
Oh yeah, it seems like
25 yards. But
it just seems like I wake up Saturday morning and he's already scored twice.
Right. Yeah. No. Definitely. He's been ridiculous. And I from here, it's only his to lose. There's still three games left on the season for most teams here. He would have to have just awful last three games for him not to get the Heisman at this point. And I just don't see that happening. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Not at all. It's he's definitely been just on a tear and just on another level. all of the touchdowns.
He's a very interesting guy going forward to kind of look at with pro prospects and stuff too. He still has another year,
yeah.
I believe next year he has to play. It's only a sophomore, so we'll have to see where he goes from there. But we could see this, see him go. I definitely want to see his passing game continue to improve because his accuracy has a long way to go to me. But he appears to have the tools to really fluster defenses. So.
Yeah, and I just don't see why you shouldn't be giving anybody who has any relative success in college just giving them a shot at least once they get to the NFL, just because, I mean, you know, it's gotten to a point where, hey, just throw whatever you got at the wall and see what sticks, at least at quarterback. I mean, you just never know until you're going to get a guy out there. The athleticism's there. Just the playmaking ability is there. There's no reason not to take a chance on him if he can be a game changer for your entire team.
Yeah, definitely. You never know. I mean, Michael Vick had a pretty good career with,
right.
I guess you could call subpar throwing accuracy. So he's definitely going to get a shot. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. But that's going to have to reexamine that later here in a few weeks, I guess, since we're getting pretty close to the season being over. Crazy.
It is weird that we are only a month or so away here from conference championship games, bowl selections, and starting the bowl games. Seems like it was just a short time ago that we were talking about what any of these teams were going to do coming into the season. So it definitely went by pretty quick here. But I guess we should continue our picks here, and we'll stay here in the college ranks. You had an upset in the college. You picked Iowa over Penn State, and didn't really work out. Penn State,
what?
Coming off of a big win against Ohio State, won 41-14. They've really kind of hit a corner here and are playing really well. Iowa, on the other hand, kind of on a downfall. And, Penn State looks to maybe be making a little bit of a comeback here in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I mean, I just equate it to kind of just what Nebraska's doing. I mean, they've had a really nice year, but I wouldn't, you know, expect them to bring down any, crash the party, I guess, if you will, as far as the playoffs go. I mean, yeah, Iowa didn't look good, and yeah, Penn State's definitely shown a lot of improvement, but I wouldn't quite put them up there yet.
Oh yeah, no, definitely not. But they're playing better than they have over the last couple of years, so some hope in Nittany Lion. Land.
Country.
Whatever you want to call it. Yeah, country. Nittany Lion country.
Happy Valley,
okay.
Actually.
Anyway.
I guess it'd probably work too. But.
Yeah. All right. Well, finish up our last picks here. We had a couple NFL games, Broncos-Raiders. We both went Broncos. Raiders took control of first place on their own with a 30-20 victory. I know you want to talk about the Raiders here a little bit, so we'll kind of just transition here to my upset, which was Browns over Cowboys. Yeah, that didn't happen. Cowboys won 35-10, and I'm a dummy for even picking that. So,
I kind of picked it too.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, we both went 2-3, 0-1 are upset, so you still have a 2-game lead on me. Overall. So, yeah. But I mentioned that you wanted to talk about the Raiders show a little bit, so I'll let you kind of take over here.
No, I mean, I don't know. Like, the game was weird enough. The Broncos just came out completely flat, just weren't it was like four straight three and outs. Raiders got out to a 13-0 lead and just kind of coasted the victory. I mean, it was 20-10 at half, and then they ended up winning 30-20, so, I mean, it was never really in doubt. They basically just ran all over the Broncos. I think it was over 220 rushing yards. Derek Carr had like 100 yards, over 100 yards passing in the first quarter, and then, but then only it still ended up with less than 200 yards passing. So they just pretty much abandoned passing the ball when they realized it was the run was working so well on the Broncos. I just don't understand where all this Raiders love is coming from. I mean, yeah, they're 7-2. They've looked slightly better than some of the teams that they've beaten, but they needed miracles to win against the Saints and the Ravens. I mean, the fact that they've been competitive and won some division games shouldn't be surprising. They haven't really beaten anybody other than the Broncos by more. The only team they've beaten by more than a touchdown is the Broncos, and the Jaguars, and they just looked terrible when they played the Chiefs. I just don't understand. Like, pretty much any time they played an assumed playoff team, they look average, and that's just, I don't know. I feel like everybody's rushing to like find the team that is going to be the great story this year, we're forcing, you know, kind of projecting on the Raiders to be better than they are just because it's been so long. And I just feel like it's still a little bit early. Everybody wants to, I don't know, crown them. But we'll see. The offense is just still a little bit too inconsistent, and that defense is just still not good.
Yeah. No, actually, I kind of agree with that. The Broncos win made me kind of see that they are a pretty good team, because coming into this week, I kind of thought that the Broncos would pull out the victory. And because, yeah, like you said, Raiders, the only teams that they played over 500 were the Chiefs and the
Falcons.
The only two teams that played over 500 and the Falcons were their only losses. All six wins,
right,
were teams against below 500. And a couple of those games, like you said, it took miracles for them to kind of win it. So, they haven't looked great, but they're winning. And so you got to give them that. And Derek Carr has looked MVP caliber. I mean, especially for this season, when no one's really running away with it until kind of Tom Brady came back here. But you don't know really if you can give a guy who missed four games that award. But yeah, the Raiders, they haven't looked like a top team in the AFC by no means. But what they're winning, and I guess I just kind of got to give them credit for that because, I did think this Broncos game was going to go the way of Denver, and Oakland was able to pull it out.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, I agreed with that. I thought Denver was going to win. I told you, what was it? I mean, was it last week or even – it could have been last week. Might have been 2 weeks ago. It doesn't matter. I said that I could easily see Oakland going 8-8 at this point still. But no, I mean, the win over Denver, yeah, definitely changes things. They are a little bit better team. I think they have a very good chance of making the playoffs now. Just the way everything else seems to be set up, and looking at their schedule, there's a lot more games, or a few more games that they should win. So I mean, they could definitely get to 10, maybe 11 wins. It's weird to think about that, but I mean that AFC West is going to be, it's going to take a lot of wins to win that division now, it would seem.
Yeah, definitely the top three teams there. Have all looked really pretty good this season, and even the Chargers, while they've looked really bad at times, they look like they can beat the top teams. So you know that they'll be there to kind of cause some havoc in that division. So it's anyone's division at this point, and Oakland and Kansas City and Denver are all in the mix, so it should be a fun last 8 weeks we got here. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's this home stretch is going to be crazy. Just I mean, I feel like we've hinted at it, but I just after the really the Patriots, and I mean I guess if you want to say the Cowboys, like there just seems to be nobody like. A team that you can just look at and say that's a good all around team. There's no obvious glaring flaw that is gonna come back to bite them. and there's just a lot of parity, just like they want it.
Yeah, and AFC West has become one of the best divisions in football right now. So. It's going to be a battle.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else you wanted to say on the Raiders there?
No, I think that's really all I got.
All right. Well, I guess we should kind of shift our attention to another play, officiating that kind of took headlines this week. It was from the Monday night game, Seahawks and Bills, and it was Richard Sherman on that blocked field goal attempt. If you haven't saw it, I don't know how you haven't saw it if you haven't, but if you haven't, Richard Sherman came in offsides, came in, touched the ball, and kind of ran into Dan Carpenter. There was a lot of controversy whether there should have been a roughing the kicker penalty there. And you can definitely tell he was offsides. I saw some people say the whistle blew. I hadn't thought the whistle blew. To me, I didn't think it was a dirty play. I kind of thought Sherman was just going up, hitting the ball, kind of tried to get out of the way. Wasn't fully committed to getting out of the way. I thought he was right when he said if you tip the ball, then it's a live ball. And he did just that. But there's definitely been back and forth on what this rule is. So I guess we can kind of talk about it. What did you think of that play?
It was weird. I mean, I was watching and I saw it happen. And, it was just weird. Cause I mean, he knew immediately, you could just tell he knew immediately once he took off, he knew he was offside. Everybody knew he was offside. But then, I mean, it just got to that point where, yeah, the play was still going. He made sure, well, you know, just like any, you know, defensive play where you're going to be offsides and the offense, I guess, gets a quote-unquote free play, then you're, you know, you're at least going to finish the play. So, I mean, he I think that was kind of his what he was trying to do. It's like, I'm going to go make sure that this ball, you know, doesn't the field goal. So, like, you know, not don't give him the free kick. Maybe, you know, get a chance to have him kick it again. But it just, yeah, it was just so weird because, you've got Carpenter going in there and then not really sure about whether to keep going or not. And then, just the awkward way he went down. It really looked like initially that it was a serious injury. Luckily it wasn't. It's just a really weird thing. Should he have probably been flagged for roughing the kicker or unnecessary roughness or something like that? I mean, yeah, probably. But it was just such a crazy, crazy scene there. Especially you've got to bring him out because of the penalty called, which makes the whole thing even weirder. and of course, yeah, the Bills end up losing the 3 points because of it. Well, maybe not because of it, but yeah, just the way it happened, they end up missing the field goal. So just a real crazy thing. I don't know. It's yeah, it's hard to kind of decipher.
Yeah, when I first initially watched it, I was like, that's got to be a roughing the kicker penalty, right? The more I just kind of thought about it and took it all in, I was like, well, maybe they did make the right call. Of course, Blandino went on and was saying that the refs missed it, and so did the NFL referees, whatever they are, I don't know. But, yeah, they came out and said that it was a missed call. But I don't know. It was just a really weird situation. You still don't know if he was going to make the kick. But if he would have, they were down at around the 10-yard line at the end of the game with the chance to tie it and win. So you never know. They could kick a field goal there on fourth and goal and tie the game since it's overtime. But there's a lot of stuff that happens in between there you don't know. What would happen, but just a crazy play and another lack of officiating, because actually I thought the biggest call was when they got a delay a game because the ref was still standing over the ball with 2 seconds on the play clock.
That was big too.
I would have been more upset with that than anything, because then that negates the 5 yards you got from that offside. Just the play.
Right.
Though.
Yeah. So the NFL has to do something about this, right? We have, like, there has to be full-time refs. They can't just keep doing this if they're going to expect, kind of ties in with the whole ratings thing, but I mean, do you believe the ratings are going to be that big of an issue now that the election's over? They can stop leaning on that excuse. Like, are the ratings going to come back, or are they going to start to panic? And is this referee thing, is that one of the reasons why, do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. You got to do something, though. There's just so much inconsistency here. Week in and week out, it seems like we always have to talk about missed calls, and it gets kind of tiring. But I don't really know a good resolution, I guess. So
I don't. It's hard to justify or rationalize or be okay with. The fact that you've got these guys that are the best at what they do, and they're paid to play this game as fast and as precise and as accurately and just, you know, as, you know, amazingly as possible as we're supposed to be able to. And, but they dedicate their lives, you know, working, working out and practicing and trying to get everything perfect. And then you've just got a group of guys that, you know, one of them might be a lawyer or one of them might be like a banker or whatever for the most part. But, you know, for a few months out of the year, he gets to go do this. I mean, like, I'm not saying that some guys aren't good at it and that they can't do it part-time, but it just seems like we need to have guys working that are if you're going to have these players doing this at this level, then you need guys that are going to be able to officiate it at the highest possible level.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're the NFL. You should have the best referees possible week in and week out for every game. I mean, I know that.
And it's not to say that they don't. They very well probably do, but why not pay them more to do it all the time so they can be even better?
Yeah. I mean, that's definitely a good question. It seems like to be the way we're headed here with all the calls and just the way fans are upset and the decline in ratings. You're not really sure what the cause of that is, but you have to believe that this has to be partly because of it. I mean, you don't want to see your team losing because of missed calls or because a ref isn't quite sure of a rule or anything like that. And it's kind of concerning when you look at it here for the NFL going forward.
Yeah, and I mean, there's just so many things that could end up benefiting. I mean, you can, if you've got guys working full-time on things like this, you can solve or at least work on trying to figure out what a catch is or how you're going to call, you know, certain plays certain plays on specific situations in instant replay. I don't know. Yeah, I just feel like, you know, if you're paying guys to work full-time on it, then and when they're not, like, there's so many things that can be solved and help is going to improve, just can only improve the game. I mean, if officials are going to be more efficient and better at their job, then the games could actually go faster and not, you know, take 15 minutes whenever some crazy weird play goes on and then the refs got to huddle and talk about it for 5 minutes and then they got to go to the video and then talk to somebody else and then talk to the replay official in the booth. And then I don't know. I feel like a lot of things can be fixed if the owners would just pay for it.
Yeah. And hopefully we get there soon because it's getting very old. And I know I'd hate for my team to lose the game because of a missed call. So, and it seems like the Seahawks on Monday night are just prone to these types of calls. So, if you remember the Hail Mary,
just weird games in general. Weird games with weird scores.
Yep. Yeah.
They definitely find ways to. I don't know. I guess make the game fun. I guess in interesting ways. You probably wouldn't be bored watching a Seahawks game unless maybe they're playing the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of people don't get to watch them because they're out there on the West Coast. But when they keep doing things like this, they stay in the news. So
right.
Doing some good marketing out there. All right.
Yeah. So, okay, well, what else we got?
Well, we only have a few minutes here left, so kind of want to go over our hot picks here and our hot takes.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, start off here with our, do you got a hot tweet? I actually, I do not have a hot tweet this week.
Okay, I do, it was just a, just a picture of a graphic ESPN showed at one point last Saturday during the Louisville game, and that was that Lamar Jackson at that point in the season had 40 touchdowns and 3,665 yards, whereas Lamar University only had 24 touchdowns and 3,078 yards. So
wow.
Lamar Jackson outperforming an entire university.
Well, you know, I mean, he does what he does. I kind of do have a hot tweet here, and I actually shared it with you on Twitter, and it was just the guys on NBA TV talking about the Houston Rockets game, and Isaiah Thomas says James Harden's playing decent defense. They all kind of just look at each other and start busting out laughing.
Just laughing uproariously.
Yeah, and if you know
but
anything,
then in the end, Zeke.
Just look up James Harden defensive highlights if you don't know what we're talking about. So, all
right. Right. But
that wraps it up here. Let's go to our hot picks now. First game, NBA, Friday night at 7 o'clock. We have Clippers 6-1 taking on the Oklahoma City Thunder in OKC. Oklahoma City is 6-2 after their loss tonight. Who you got?
I'm actually going to take the Clippers here.
All right. I am going to have to agree. I'm taking the Clippers here. I just don't know how much Russell Westbrook can do when they play these elite teams. So, all right. And then Friday night. Oh, sorry, did you?
No, you're good.
Oh, all right. Friday night is the tip-off of college basketball. The only game probably worth watching is going to be number 10 Arizona and number 12 Michigan State. That's Friday night at 6. It's actually in Honolulu, part of the Armed Forces Classic. Who are you taking?
I was going to say, this is not going to be on a helicarrier, right?
I think so. I don't know. I don't know.
Helicarrier. I guess that's from from the Marvel universe. That'd be an aircraft carrier. There we go. That would be the real thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh man. But I was glad that this was a basketball game because I was like, that doesn't sound like a football game that is happening at this time of year. I'm going to have to go Arizona with this one.
All right. I believe in Tom Izzo. Give me Michigan State.
All right.
Then Saturday night, we didn't really get to talk about it tonight. When I say really, we didn't talk about it at all. UFC 205, Alvarez McGregor. It's going to be the first fight in New York after they legalized MMA. Madison Square Garden. Should be a great card. I mean, we have guys like Frankie Edgar and Jeremy Stevens in the prelims. That's number 3 and number 5 ranked guy in the featherweight division. So stat cards should be really good. Who you taking in the main event? Conor McGregor, Eddie Alvarez for the lightweight title.
I haven't had a chance to really think about this a whole lot, but I think I'm going to have to just go with Conor McGregor here. No particular reason. Just seems like this night was kind of made for him. I mean, like you said, it's New York legalized it. they're looking to have a big event with hopefully their biggest star winning.
All right. I'm actually going to have to go Eddie Alvarez here. I think it being in New York is actually going to be a disadvantage to Conor McGregor. Doing a little more than just focus on the fight. Eddie Alvarez is a great fighter. The only thing that scares me is he usually gets tagged in the beginning of fights before he really gets going. If he does that against Conor, it probably won't be a long night for him. So he's going to have to avoid that. But running out of time here, Seahawks Patriots Sunday night. Who you got?
Give me the Patriots.
I'm taking the Seahawks. Taking the Seahawks.
All right.
Don't know why. But all right.
Got a hot take.
Upset.
Wow, I don't have one. Sorry, I totally forgot.
All right, mine's Falcons over Eagles. My hot take this week is America will be fine.